Welcome to the Connect Groups podcast series.
Good afternoon, Connect Groups members. This is Abby Gross, the Sector and Community Development Officer. And with me today, I have Amanda. She is advocacy and communications.
Yes, you got it. First shot. Well done.
I'm good. Aren't I good? But we're going to start how we always do. We're going to do a quick acknowledgement to country. So today I would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people on which we are recording this podcast today. We'd like to show our respect and acknowledge the elders past, present and emerging. And also acknowledge their connection to land, waters and community. And in the spirit of Support Groups Awareness Week coming up, I also want to acknowledge anyone who's listening or anyone in the room that has a lived experience. So welcome, Amanda. How are you going?
I'm going very well. Thank you, Abby.
Great. It's weird having you in here today.
Oh, it's exciting. Exciting to be in our little studio recording again. It's been a while.
A little while. You're always the one having to listen to my voice and edit it.
Yeah, usually in the post edit. So nice to be on the microphone for a change.
So today we kind of just wanted to jump on here to talk about all things Support Groups Awareness Expo campaign, all the things we have going on. Can you just give us maybe a few key dates for the expo coming up and then kind of any other activities that are happening?
So basically the campaign is launching on the 24th, so Monday. Mm-hmm. Runs right through to the Sunday the 30th. We've got a number of activities. The key sort of initiative we're doing is a social media campaign. Mm. So we've got this really fantastic pack of resources, social media tiles, and we're really encouraging the whole sector and its supporters to get involved by helping us share those posts and raising awareness of the campaign. We've also got a number of radio interviews lined up with RTRFM, which is giving a great opportunity for support groups to showcase the work that they're doing.
Amazing.
And also in Mandra on the Monday, Abby and Christine are both heading down that way to deliver some tailored sessions for support groups there, including as well a bit of an awareness event to help them promote what they're doing to local service providers. And the final real sort of big event that we're hosting for the campaign is our Awareness Expo, which is taking place on Thursday the 27th. That's going to be held at the Perth Cultural Centre. We're going to have about 30 support groups there, showcasing what they do and some live music. So
great.
Should be a great day out.
And is that open to the public, or is it just service providers and members within the sector that can access that?
It's open to anybody. So we really encourage community members to come down to get some information about different mental health and health support. But we also really encourage service providers, organisations, anyone with an interest in the sector to come down and learn about what this sector does and how we might be able to work together to support the community.
So what kind of info will these stalls normally have available for the broader community to access?
So we're encouraging the groups to come down to bring all of their flyers and information. A lot of them actually make referrals on the day as well.
Oh, great.
So they're really there to chat with people who need that support then and there and refer them on. But also just raising awareness about what they're doing. We get a lot of, you know, family members even who come through and know of someone who could do with that support. So it's really, you know, it's quite varied. You know, we've got groups for mental health, we've got groups for chronic health conditions, disability. Really, you know, there's 30 different groups and they're all from a range of different target areas. So it's really a great opportunity to come down and find out about a range of different supports.
Yeah, so you mentioned that like family members of people who they think might need some support in the form of a support group. Does that include, like, it could be a partner, it could be a carer? What is the pathway for referrals for someone who might not feel comfortable going to the expo themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So it can be anybody, really. It can be a friend, it can be a neighbor, it can be, you know, you might just know of someone in your life who you think is maybe a bit isolated, who's struggling with a condition. They can pick up some flyers at the expo, or they can get some details that they can pass on to that person.
Yeah.
I mean, we say this a lot. We get a lot of particularly men's groups. We know that men aren't always as willing to engage as what women are. I know that things are changing, but we do say 80% of our sector is women. Mm. And we have, you know, prostate cancer groups, and their biggest referral pathway is the partners of the man with prostate cancer, because they're the ones who are sort of on the ball about trying to link their partner into support. So it doesn't always have to be that person. They might be feeling a bit, you know, a bit nervous about approaching people for support. So they might have, you know, a partner, a friend, someone close to them who can get that information on their behalf.
Yeah. And I know obviously myself and yourself will be at the expo, but I know the entire office is going to be there as well. It's going to be an awesome day. But for anyone who's listening, is it all right if they come up and talk to us directly for referrals and things like that as well?
Yeah, so we'll have our Connect Group stall there. I know we're still sort of getting prepped and planned for what we're going to take, but something we always have is we always have some sort of referral process available from our stall. So if that's really good for if anyone comes down as well and the support they're looking for isn't there, they can come and see us and we can do more of a tailored referral. Obviously we have over 700 support groups across our database, and we've only got 30 coming to the stall. So if you come down and you know that specific support isn't there, you can come and have a chat with our lovely team and we'll be really happy to sort of take down the person's details, whether it's a phone number or an email, and we can sort of after the event flick them through some details about groups that are close to them.
I know that we kind of worked, you spearheaded this entire campaign, but when we were kind of discussing things around the strategic planning and the messages that come with this campaign, the slogan for the event is
the power of shared experience.
Amazing. And I know that we also talked about a key component of this campaign, not just for the expo, but for the week and hopefully for the foreseeable future, is kind of challenging the stereotypes that surround traditional support groups. What kind of experience or interpretations of support groups have you kind of come across? I know I've come across people who just assume you're like sitting in a circle and crying, but like it can be so much broader than that.
Yeah, and I think that still is a common stereotype. People sort of think, oh, it's going to be a dark, cold, isolated room. People are going to be miserable, and they think that, you know, they're going to get even more down just talking about, you know, all their sorrows and whatnot.
Yeah.
Another one we get is that they think it's, you know, a group of people sitting in a circle singing, very kumbaya. And we're really trying to challenge that through this campaign, because we see hands-on the groups that are running, and they really can be quite high level. So we want community, we want government, we want service providers to really take these groups more seriously, to see the impact that they're having on health and mental health. We also want community to see that they can actually be very fun to attend. We have groups who, even groups who are meeting for quite sensitive topics, yes, they meet and they talk about their feelings and they discuss what they're going through, but they also provide activities, get-togethers, where they can relate to each other, and quite often in a fun way. And, you know, I was meeting with a dementia carers group when I was in Bunbury recently, and something that they pointed out is really sort of relatable in this sense, in that they said, you know, we'll make jokes about things that you wouldn't think you're supposed to laugh about, but if you don't laugh about it, you'll cry about it. And in that group, it's safe to sort of, you know, laugh with another. You're not laughing at each other, but you're laughing with one another, finding the funny side of, you know, an adverse situation.
While still also dealing with it and feeling like you aren't alone in that experience. That's so amazing. Kind of going back to the radio interviews that we have coming up, what time slots are we in? And off the top of your head, little test, who and what groups are being interviewed, if you can remember them?
Oh, putting me on the spot here. I didn't bring the schedule. For anyone who's interested in listening to the interviews taking place next week, what we'll do is we'll share in this podcast link just the times and groups who are going to be showcased. So definitely, you know, if you have the time, tune in, have a listen. It's a really great opportunity to hear about some of the work that our groups are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that there is a variety of groups. There's some long-term groups that we've had for a while, but also some very new and growing groups that have only just become members with us as of this year. So it's always great to hear those foundational stories, but also the success stories that we've had, which is great. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. After all of these radio interviews, obviously we have so many members with us, but also so many people that are wanting to share their stories and the purpose and the mission behind their groups. There's a clear gap in the community that these champions are trying to fill. But in terms of a broader understanding of the power of support groups, I know that this week focuses on the power of lived and shared experience, but what else is really important for our campaign? What else are we really trying to get across to the broader community?
I think we're really just trying to express that this sector is there. It's still lacking visibility. And you know, the whole reason we're running this campaign is because we had consultations with the support group sector last year, and one of the key issues they're facing is referral pathways. They don't feel like enough people know that they're there. They don't feel that people understand the benefits. So the real purpose of this campaign is to show the impact that the support group sector has. And as well, I think, you know, right now at a time where our state is really struggling with staff shortages in the health system, in hospitals.
Absolutely. The nurses' strike the other week.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much happening.
There's, you know, these groups can provide free support within the community, which can really help prevent hospital admissions, GP visits. You know, they're not only providing that mental health, but they're also sharing self-management skills. So they can really help to lessen the burden on the health system.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important as part of this campaign that we showcase that and really try to get the community to take support groups more seriously and see the value that they provide.
Absolutely. So it's kind of first step is breaking the stereotype or the myth that surround a traditional support group and realizing that it's bigger than a lot of the broader community can actually imagine. And then once you've kind of cleared that fog, being able to see the impact of those groups. And if you're able to sit down and really take the time to understand what a modern support group looks like, they can have a huge impact, not just on the people in the group, but their family, their friends, and the broader community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is, you know, the power of shared experience. It is really unique because you can't find that anywhere else. Obviously, you can get support from doctors, you can get support from families and friends, but having walked the same path as somebody else is a really unique type of support. And that's what the power of shared experience is all about.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that really differentiates support groups is that there's no judgment, which I feel a lot of people get very hesitant to go to mental health professionals in fear that they're going to be judged, or if someone sees me walk into a psychology office. The stigma that is still kind of very much embedded in mental health, but also surrounding support groups and their function and their value. So hopefully our campaign then will be successful in maybe not busting that myth within 7 days, but opening doors to continue this same conversation for the foreseeable future. Anything else?
No, I think just really encouraging anyone who's listening to get across our social media. So facebook.com/connectgroupsWA. Check out some of the posts we'll be putting up to learn more about support groups, learn more about what's out there, and really help us to spread the word about this great sector and this campaign.
Yeah. So reminder, 27th, Thursday, 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. at the Perth Cultural Centre. That's where 30 of our support groups and the entire Connect Groups team are going to be. And we hope to see you all there.
Come down, have a chat, have a boogie.
Have a boogie. We're good at boogieing at this office. We love it. All right, we'll see you all next time.